Let's pray once again. Father, we thank you for everything you've done for us since we started this service up to now. We are now going in for your word. We pray, Lord, that you be with us, teach us all the truth from you. Lend me strength, Lord, as you see that I'm weak physically. Lord, give me grace to finish this session well. Open our inner ears so that we can understand what you had prepared for us today. This we pray through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Yeah, we are on verse 9 on Matthew 5. Blessed are the peacemakers. Yeah, we read it in Matthew 5, chapter 9. I'm chapter 5, verse 9. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. I told you that I used to call these beatitudes, I was considering them as a chain. Yeah, my consideration is not hard to understand, but this one of Brother Spurgeon. But this one of Spurgeon, that there, it's a ladder. And you know, a ladder, the next ladder is more elevated compared to the previous one. So the more you put your foot on the next ladder, the more strong, the more high you go. And I was asking myself before I prepared this sermon. How can peacemakers be strong, stronger than pure in heart? Because I think being pure in heart is everything. But when I sat down and prepared this sermon, I respected Brother Spurgeon. The more you go to the next beatitudes, the bigger, the stronger it is. I struggled with this one. I had to sleep at 2 a.m. trying to get the message from the Lord. I'm not trying to copy from someone and you copy and paste, you come and preach. This is how the Lord gave it, this message to me. This is the seventh of the Beatitudes. And number seven was the number of perfection among the Jews. Of perfection. Doesn't come out well. Perfection. So that's number seven. Even if you read in the Bible, seven whatever, seven spirits, seven angels, seven. So it's not the number of perfection. And maybe our Savior placed the peacemaker, the seventh, on the list. Because with it, With it, the person reaches the perfect man in Christ Jesus.
when you reach this level. For your information, before I continue, we are left with one more beatitude, there are eight. But I can say today is as if I'm ending them. Because from the first beatitude to the seventh, Jesus Christ was showing his disciples the character of citizens of heaven.
Yes, Christ, we are young in the whole of our Egidizab, Egi, and get your moon to Abatabalina of Vera Mukuru, where I know Bear.
Those who will be in heaven,
Abavali Vera Mukuru,
this is how they will be.
Where I know you bear.
From the first to the seventh.
Okuba Kuchisoga Papa from Sam.
I told you, and I repeat it again. It does not. Those who are still in the world, this is not for them. There's no way they can be like this. Then, beginning with next week, all the part, the last beatitude and the other parts down there, we shall be studying now the reaction of the world towards people with these characters. Yes. If you go from step 1 to step 7 and you really you have all these 7 virtues, you might think that the world might now love you and say, oh, that guy is so meek, that girl is really pure in heart. Unfortunately, when you acquire all these, then the world starts persecuting you. Remember, in Christ, you can't be persecuted. Christ cannot persecute his people. In heaven, no one will be persecuted. In heaven, no one will be persecuted. That's why I'm telling you that the virtues are ending here. Because in heaven, all the people in heaven will have pure hearts. We'll have got the peace. We'll be poor in spirit. We will have all this, but no one, in heaven no one will be persecuted. So the virtues Christ wanted end here. Number 7, the number of perfection. You get this one, you become a peacemaker, you reach perfection. The perfect man that Jesus Christ wants. Yeah, but as always, let's go with the definition of words. It helps me a lot. Don't think that I just feel pleasure to give you Hebrew words or Greek words. I know many preachers just enjoy to do that during their preaching. They disturb people with their Hebrew words just to prove that they know them, to prove that they've gone to seminaries. That's very
good.
We need to be as humble as possible in every way, everything we do, even in preaching. Try to use the simplest English possible. If you did literature in English, keep it with you out there. Don't bring those jargons here. So there are two types of peace. Peace as was understood in the Old Testament, and peace as it was understood in the New Testament. You see, even in John 14:27, Jesus says, My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives you. Oh, kumbe there are also two types of peace. Worldly peace and divine peace or godly peace. Now let's see how the people in the Old Testament understood peace. This one the concept of peace in the Old Testament is often represented by the word shalom.
Shalom.
That's a Hebrew word, which means tranquility. It means tranquility. That is okay. It's peace. It means tranquility. Means peace. Security. Harmony, welfare or well-being, success, prosperity, and it is more external than internal. What do I mean? To those people, because even they were greeting each other, shalom, shalom. So I wish you peace. So that they mean absence of war, absence of trouble, absence of sickness, absence of lack of fees. So, welfare, well-being. The concept of peace in the New Testament is often represented by the word irene. Irene, that's a Greek word, which means rest, reconciliation with God, salvation in the fullest sense, heart peace, and it is more internal than external. Here, it often refers to the inner peace of the Christian whose trust is in the Lord. Keep these two concepts of peace in your mind. It's you may ask, now, this peace here, Jesus says, blessed are the peacemakers. This peace Jesus was talking about, which one was that? That of the OT or that of the NT? I believe it's true, because I consulted many scholars and other people, and some say he was talking about that inner peace. Others, he was talking about the other, the normal peace in the world. What's your position now, Pastor? I believe Jesus was talking about the normal peace here. You to be a peacemaker, to always come in between people. No, Francis Alice, don't quarrel. And then peace comes. So, now, we are like this because of Marvin. But these two types of peace are intermingled. So as I'm going to explain to you here, even if Jesus was talking about us to make peace in the world we live in, but the source of that peace is the other inner one. As you are going to see here, wonderful. You cannot be a peacemaker before the other one there, the Irene. Oh. Okay, passing knowledge. Let us get an illustration. Teachers pass knowledge they were given to other people, to other brains. How can an uneducated person, illiterate, become a teacher at secondary, a lecturer at Makerere? You never went to school, but you are a lecturer. That will be a miracle. Because teachers only give to others what they were given. People teach what they were taught, yes, before. One gives what they have. If you don't have a phone, you cannot bless someone with a phone. Now, if someone has never received peace, how can he pass it to others? In other words, how can he become a peacemaker? Because you trying to be a peacemaker, you should have that peace already. As we continue explaining this, you'll see how this being a peacemaker is greater than all the rest, the six before it. Pure
hearts.
Let's first go back to the beginning and talk about the one and only true peacemaker. The only true peacemaker. The one and only. And how he did it. Yeah, we read this passage in one of the Beatitudes here. And remember me, I told you that they are together, they support each other. This Genesis 2:15 is coming back. Genesis 2:15 up to 17. But let me just explain, brethren, because we read it when we were in the other Beatitude. In Genesis 2:15 and 17, this is the voice of God after placing Adam and Eve in Eden. Eden, Murusuku. Asking them to enjoy all the fruits except that one of the knowledge of good and evil. And he added that the day you eat from this one, you will surely die. The word surely means that it was a sort of swearing. Sort of, I'm not joking, you'll surely die. Then Genesis chapter 3, verses 4 up to 6, we find now the devil who comes in the form of a snake. And you know the dialogue started. Did he say you should not eat? Oh, no, no, he said we can't but accept that. And he said, no, you can eat, because that guy Tyre Gariza, he knows that the day you eat from this one, your eyes will open and be like him. And you know, our first mother, okay, let me say our first parents, because both of them, they were more interested to be like God. Because if they were not interested, I could not be struggling with Brusela now. Because it begins from the wish, the need. Someone called me from Africell, telling me that he was the manager of Africell in Uganda, informing me that I had won a car. So he wanted to direct me where to go and tell me how to get my car. Then I asked him, what did I do to win it? No, we just try to, we are trying to give back to our customers. But I told him, okay, it's okay. Yes, I've been your customer for some time now. But manager, because he started asking me, what's your name? I told him, manager, we've already registered all our lines.
And
our numbers are with you in your computers. How again are you asking me? You don't know the person you called. Okay, well, you know, because now I'm not at office. I say, okay. Let's cut the long story short. I'm not interested in winning that car. Are you serious? Yes, I don't want to win it. He went off, full of shame. And I tried to call the line back. It was not there because they removed. Because Oyomu failed, that's police case already. So now our first parents, if they were not interested to be like God, if would have told the devil there, no, being like God, no, we are his servants. Yes, we are not interested. We could not reach here. But they showed that right from their nature, they wanted to be God, like gods. And are you surprised to sit today with people? People want to be like God. Nangirida, I decree, I command. The way God commanded, I also command. So, we are not surprised. We see it from our first parents. This is what I call slapping the Almighty God on the face. He tells you this and you disobey him. Such a mighty God. He said, really? You've done that? Far from me. Far from me. Leave my garden. You will die as I told you forever. Separation between you and me. Trouble came in. Sickness. To eat after sweating. Producing our women cry during childbirth. Suffering and finally death. And God has no reverse gear. Is yes, is yes, is no, is no. Separation with me forever. And this is where his other name came to play some role. You need to know the attributes of God or characters of God and the names of God. They are separate. On his attributes, his characters, God is merciful. On his names is Yahweh, is Adonai, is peace. So it's him. So now he started, after chasing us from his presence, he immediately started planning how to restore peace between himself and his people. And the Bible calls him God of peace. In Romans 15:33. I'm talking about God the Father here. God of peace. Through his great mercy, started planning reconciliation with man.
Yeah.
such a worm that has just disobeyed you, but you want again to reconcile. And the Prince of Peace was ready to come and accept to be humiliated. In order to restore peace between men and God.
Now,
let's read Isaiah 9. Isaiah 9, 6 and 7. Isaiah 9, 6 and 7 reads, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." 9, 6 and 7.
Kubanga omu.
Ngomwana atuzali.
Kubanga omwana atuzali dwafe, omwana obulenzi awele dwafe, nokufuga kunabanga kuchibegabegache, nerinyalie liitiwe nti wachitalo, atesa ebigambo, Katonda owamani, kitafe atabuwao, omukulu owemirembe.
Omukulu owemirembe. The Prince of Peace.
Mulangira owemirembe.
Even when we slapped him on the face, God the Father was God of peace. Even when we disobeyed him, the Prince of Peace was there ready. And he was ready to come and bridge the gap that has separated us with the Father. Jesus Christ poured the peace of God to mankind. Of God the Father to mankind. That peace of God which surpasses all understanding. According to Philippians 4:7. That's why he says the peace of God surpasses all understanding. Then I was asking myself, how does the peace of God surpass in a human understanding? Even the understanding of the geniuses who are making things, they are making crafts and going to the moon. They are too genius, too intelligent. They can't understand the peace of God. How? In that, no man can ever comprehend how the triune God. Have lived together for eternity. Inequality. And total peace. Yet each person is self-sufficient, self-dependent. No one created the other. This is hard theology. Men abuse us when we teach this. You say, no, it's the Father who created the Son and the God the Holy Spirit. Everyone is God. Everyone is self-sufficient. No one created the other. But they've lived together and they'll live together forever in total peace. When you come to us, men, you just fail to understand that. Even in churches, people are fighting. The pastor does not want to see this other brother who's coming up with knowledge of Christ. No, this one, he's coming to be like me, he'll be my equal. And they want to suppress them.
Those also want also to climb and reach the level of their pastor. Everyone wants to prove that they are big. This one wants to appear on the scene. This one does not want. Check God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. The humility of God the Holy Spirit. Humility, that up to now many people think that he's not God, it's just the power of God. Yes, they say it's just the power that works in God the Father and God the Son. It's just the power. But you tell them, no, he's a person. Power does not speak, the power that cannot get angry, get annoyed. But he allows to be like that, to remain like that in that sort of low status. His working, God's Spirit is working, that the God the Son and God the Father be glorified. God the Son is working for the God the Father to be glorified. I understood how Paul said the peace of God which surpasses all human understanding. This peace has nothing to do with the absence of war and trouble. The preachers of these days, unfortunately, they also have the concept of the Old Testament people. What they call peace is when you, if you are renting, you don't lack money for rent. But they even say, no, you need to even not rent, be in your own house.
Yes.
Someone told me, but if you are still renting, even if you sleep in a better house, but you don't have peace, people will still come and knock at your
bed.
So for them, peace is when no one demands from you. You cannot borrow because you have everything. You don't fall sick. You go wherever you want. So that's what they call peace. That's the peace of the world. And that can push you to say Uganda is a peaceful country. Who told you? I hear many people say so. Uganda is a peaceful country simply because all our neighbors come here to seek refuge. We have refugees from Congo, from Burundi, from Rwanda, from Sudan. That's the peace of the world. Yes, we have it. But even if we go deep into that very peace, we don't, because what is this fence doing here and the barbed wires? You fear people to come and break you and put a knife here. They happen here. So even the peace of the world, we don't have it. Now, because some people have received peace, they can also now be instruments of peace to others. I'm talking about the peace that Jesus Christ brought, the Prince of Peace. He brought it to the world. Poured it. A few people received it. Not all people. It's only those few people who received that peace that Jesus Christ was talking about. Because they alone can be peacemakers. Remember what I told you, you cannot give what you don't have. So, you and me, Let me suppose that we've received peace. Yeah, I don't want to deceive you, eh? Yeah, don't go straight that you and me have received peace, so let's go and be peacemakers. No, we need to check that. So that I don't deceive you that simply because you come to RBC, so you've received that first peace. I'm saying, suppose you and me have received peace. Then we are now prepared to go and be peacemakers. In both ways. Either between man and fellow man, or between man and the great merciful God. Jesus says, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Let us now look at these peacemakers more closely. Before you venture to make peace either way, you need to first know the reason why people don't live in peace. Whether with each other or with God. Get it right, huh? Before you make your first step to go and start making peace, try to know the reason why people are not at peace. It will help you. Why are people not at peace with each other? Countries are not at peace with each other. Tribes are not at peace with each other. Tribes, Baganda, Banyankore, Batoro. The answer is one. And that is because of sin. Right from Eden. So you need to cut the tree from its roots. If at all you want it to disappear. But if you cut the branches and the trunk and everything, if only the roots are there, still there, it will germinate again. So if you want to be a peacemaker, know the root of lack of peace, which is sin. Okay, now we are ready now to go. You and me, who are already, I said we suppose that we would already receive that peace that Jesus Christ poured. Now we want to go now and start making peace with others. Let me begin with the physical side of it. You all know that the opposite of a peacemaker is a troublemaker. Yes, peacemaker, troublemaker. You want to be a peacemaker between people. Yet, you yourself don't live at peace with anyone. Can it be possible? You want a miracle? Someone who never went steps even in any nursery school, but they are lecturing at Makerere University. That's a miracle. We are not in the era of miracles, brethren. You want to perform a miracle? You want to be a peacemaker between Sabrina and Pastor Bill, and yet you are more troublemaker than us, than me and Sabrina. You can't give what you don't have. Get it from me. You cannot be a peacemaker. I'm still on the physical side of it. The two brothers, two sisters, brother and sister in the church are fighting. How will you come in between them? Yet you have a problem with one of them. You are a troublemaker wherever you go. Either you fight with other people directly, or you take part in many other fights indirectly. Yes, we have directly, it's like me and Brother Marvin here, we exchange words or even exchange punches. Indirectly it is Brother Caleb and Brother Asumani are quarreling, me I'm not there. But everything began from me. Brother, did you hear what Asmani said about you? Brother Asmani, did you hear what Brother Caleb said about you? So they quarrel. Me, I'm not there quarreling. But I'm in that fight indirectly. How can I come in between these two brothers? I can't. I even feel ashamed. So, before we become a peacemaker here on earth, first have peace yourself. Reason why? You see, the UN always calls upon our President Museveni. Go to Congo. Go and reconcile with the Sudanese, because they presume that Uganda is a peaceful country. Check yourself at your home. Inside your home. Is there peace? If no, do you have a hand in it? In the trouble going on in your home? Is there peace between you and your husband? You and your wife? You and your children? You and your brothers and sisters? So I'm trying to show you how impossible it can be for you to be a peacemaker. At your place of work, wherever you go, with your neighbors, is there peace? Brethren, I came to realize that being a peacemaker is not easy. It's a very huge task. It requires you, it demands a lot from you. You need to ignore many things for the sake of peace. Sometimes, even your own rights for the sake of peace. Hebrews 12:14 says, let's read that. Hebrews 12:14. It reads, pursue peace with all people and holiness, without which no one will see the Lord. Pursue peace. I like Brother Sikos, can you read for me in NIV? I like the way NIV puts it. Hebrews 12, or whoever, I think I'm NIV, 12:14. Yes, it says pursue peace, yes, but the word there for pursue is... 12:14.
Make every effort to live in peace with all men and to be holy.
Make every effort. Make every effort to live in peace with everyone.
Awatari or was the wali aliyabamu kama.
Bless them. Which persecute you, bless
and curse. No, it's not that. It is Hebrews 12:14. Kuminavili kuminanya. Bible 12:14. Make all efforts. So which is strength, NIV brings it well. To live at peace with everyone. You'll not get it at a silver plate. Sichangu. It's not easy. But it's one of the most difficult things. But he's saying, telling us to make every effort possible to live at peace with everyone. Do you get some parallelism or parallel with what we studied last week? Among everything that you keep, keep more diligently your heart, because that's where comes the springs of life. Keep more diligently your heart. You keep many other things. You keep your kids, you keep your job, you keep. But when it comes to your heart, do it more diligently. And here now it's now to seek, to pursue. Make all efforts to be at peace with everyone. Whether you are right or not. No, I cannot go to him. I cannot go. They are the ones. They are the ones who are supposed to come and apologize to me. Because I've even told 10 people. They say no. You don't have. They are the ones in problem. They should come first. So I can't go there. I'm here waiting. If they come, I'm a Christian. I'm going to forgive them. But me, I cannot make the first step. No, they have to come. Someone who slapped me and you want me to go and apologize. Make all effort to live at peace with everyone. It's not easy. Reason why you are not at peace with people. You are not at peace with your parents. You are not at peace with your brothers and sisters in the church. Wherever you go, you quarrel with people. Why? That's because you are not at peace with God. You might call yourself a born again. You might count years since you said you became born again. But the fact that you are not at peace with people, it proves that you are not yet born again. Someone deceived you and your mind grabbed that. You've said a prayer. Okay, you become a born again now. Your mind grabbed that. But now the fruit is showing that you are not. Not yet. You are not at peace with anyone. Those who are at peace with are fewer compared to those you quarrel with, like crush with. So, if you are not at peace with God, then you don't have a pure heart. If you are not at peace with God, don't deceive yourself, or don't allow anyone to deceive you that you can be at peace with man. Impossible. You'll quarrel with your teachers, with your colleagues in class, with anyone. These beatitudes build each other. Let us go to this passage and you see how this one is greater than pure in heart. Let's go to James. This one is stronger than pure in heart. James, Yaakov, 3. Let's read James 3, 17 and 18. It says, 3, 17 and 18. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. Now the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. 17 and 18.
Naye amagezi agaba waggulu okusooka malongoofu nate ga mirembe mawombeefu mawulize agajjudde okusasira n'ebibala ebirungi agatalina kwawula agatalina bunanfuusi.
So last week we talked of the purity. Pure in heart. The heart should have no spot. If you want to go to heaven one day. Then they are telling us that the wisdom from heaven is first pure, then peaceable. Then 18 is telling us, so you see how they are linking purity and peace, they have put them together. Then verse 18 says, now the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. And this other beatitude said, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. But this one says, that righteousness, that fruit of righteousness, is sown in the taka, in the ground of peace. What does that mean? If there's no peace, then there's no ground where you can sow righteousness. You cannot, put your seed in air here. You need some land, you till it, prepare it very well, then you put your seed under there. And that ground, that land is what they are calling peace, where you have to plant the seed of righteousness. So, in other language, if peace is not there, even righteousness is not there. If peace is not there, then poverty in the spirit is not there. If peace is not there, even purity in heart is not there. Let me tell you, purity in heart is within you. Because where you are seated, you can't tell whether my heart is pure or not. I also can't tell whether your heart is pure or not. It's inside. But peace is seen outside. If I don't live at peace with people, you don't need to be informed. You see it. I'm trying to show you how this peace is bigger than purity in heart. I can say that you being in peace with people is so, it's like now the fruit of that purity. As we live together here in the church, we shall be, as leaders, we shall be watching. I'm trying to see those troublemakers. If they are not there, they will come. They are ever there in all churches. For them, their work is just to bring trouble, to get two heads and knock them together. We had some at Chisigula there. And Lugambo started entering the church. This one said this. This one said that. Because their hearts are not at peace with God. So, if you are not at peace with God, begin from there.
Otherwise, you cannot be a peacemaker. Okay, after, because we are living as light here in this world. We need to create peace where it's not there. When people are quarreling in the house, you should be the one to bring them together. When people are quarreling, fighting in your classroom, you should be the one to bring them together. That's what Jesus was meaning. Peacemakers. But I think you've seen that you cannot be a peacemaker if the other first peace Jesus brought is missing. Then that's one role we play as Christians, to be salt among all these people we live with. To be salt. Then, secondly, we need to create peace, to be peacemakers between sinful men and their God. This word peace is used to all the triune God. It's a part of the all the three persons of God. God of peace, the Prince of peace, the Spirit of peace.
No more.
And here they are calling God the gospel of peace that you and me need to carry and go with. It's called the gospel of peace, Ephesians. Let's read that so that you don't think that I'm just bringing my words forth. Ephesians 6:15. See how they call the gospel. Ephesians 6:15. See then that you walk 6:15, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Yeah.
Era nga munanise mu bigere okweteekateeka okw'enjiri ey'emirembe.
Do you hear our God is called God of peace? Christ is called the Prince of Peace.
Yes, Christ waitibwa.
The Holy Spirit is called the Spirit of Peace. The gospel is called the gospel of peace. When you take it forward, it first brings peace between these people and their God. And this peace automatically creates peace between them. That's why when I was consulting various scholars, I was like, but people are I wonder why they are pulling ropes. Some say Jesus was talking about the inner peace. I don't know, he was talking about the peace just to create peace in the world between people. But these people are, these two things, you can't separate them.
You can't.
You cannot. So you can. You cannot miss the peace with God, and you get the peace with people. No, it can be a miracle. Because at the root of lack of peace, it's sin. It's sin. So if you are still living in sin, you are not in peace, at peace with God. How can you live at peace with people? The sin in you. Let me show you how lack of peace comes. The sin in you of jealousy. Just the mere fact of seeing Francis with a nice trouser, a nice shirt. That's enough to.
He has not abused you. But simply because you envy what he has, you wish it would be yours. The envy grows. You start within your heart, especially after putting on that trouser, and from there you go to this brother. Do you see? You start totally to make two heads. To crush two heads together. So we need to work first at our peace with God. Because both roads of peacemaking, we cannot walk them if we don't have peace with God. Whenever you preach the gospel of peace, you are being a peacemaker. What do you do? You just relax at your home. Auntie Pastor has not told us to go for outreach. You do your work. You don't want to bring peace between men and God. Remember, Jesus Christ never came to do the other type of peace, huh? So that me and Marvin don't crash. No. Jesus Christ, you know, what he does. Instead of giving you fish, and tomorrow and tomorrow and next month and next year, he just teaches you how to fish. He knows if I create peace between men and God, that automatically will create peace among themselves. We are peacemakers. Let us go and preach the gospel of peace. What, ask yourself, what are you doing as far as preaching this gospel of peace is concerned? The answer is nothing I can answer for you. I always tell you, the sermon, all every sermon here is recorded for you. You have friends, you have parents, you have neighbors that you can pass these sermons and maybe they help them. But do you even care? You can even buy a CD, an empty CD. Come, we put them there, 2, 3, 4 of them. Just say, this is a gift from me to you. Not only this. Come and request us for someone from Pastor Conrad Mbewe, for John MacArthur. All these brothers who preach true gospel. Yes. Check the messages. Oh, give me this one. Put in the CD. Give me this one. And you take a blank and empty. That's recorded CD full of sermons to your friend, to your mother, to your sister, to your brother, to your husband, to your fiancé. Listen to this. But do you even care? My own messages that I listen to them myself, and they bless me. Last night I was listening at our sermons in the book of Romans when we were still at Kisigula there. And it blessed me. Can you believe that? And I was like, wow, it is really God who speaks with these people. How can my own sermon bless me? You can't understand that. I followed Romans 12. Be transformed. And even sleep took me. I came to wake up. All the iPad was talking alone. Let us preach the gospel of peace. Let us be peacemakers. Remember this. Our peace with the Father
is only through Jesus Christ. Put Jesus aside, you'll be surprised when you look at the face of God the Father.
In this imagery, is the Holy Spirit just give, put them into my own heart, myself. Sometimes I just see Jesus before me, smiling at me, and just see it within me, and I see God the Father looking at me with just that face. Try to put Jesus aside, then look at God. He only smiles at you because of Christ. Jesus Christ is off. All his wrath of what we did in the Eden comes back. Let's read Romans 5:1. Oh my God, Jesus Christ is everything. I just pity people who put Jesus Christ far from their spiritual life. Romans 5:1 says, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through Jesus Christ alone. I told you God has no reverse gear. If he said you've disobeyed me, separation between me and you forever and ever, it's so. It's like that up to now. Just let Jesus Christ be aside. That still stands. Separation between you and me forever. So the peace we are enjoying, you and me, is internal peace. It has nothing to do with your outer man. That's why I'm sick, but I'm preaching the gospel. That's why even people are very poor, but rejoice. That's why the Uganda Matters told Kabaka, go ahead and set up us ablaze. The inner peace has nothing with pain, because they knew when you put fire on someone, that's too much pain. It has nothing to do with wealth or poverty or whatever. It has nothing to do with education. This is the peace Christ gave to us. And let us be ready to sacrifice even things for the sake of peace. Let us teach it to our children. You find sometimes even kids, because of that chair they are fighting. No, I'm the one who was sitting here before. But when I came here, no one was here. But yes, but I've come, leave now. So no one is ready to live for the other. Can't you live for the sake of peace? And this message today brings us to the mission of our own church. And let's go to that scripture there. Let's read that scripture there. Let's read that scripture there. 2 Corinthians 5, we read 18 up to 20. 5:18-20 says, now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. 19, that is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Other versions say the ministry of reconciliation. 20. Now then, we are ambassadors of Christ, As though God were pleading through us, we implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. So this the reconciliation between us and God. When you tell people that God is one, they fail to understand us. We've already seen that it is Christ Jesus, the second person of Godhead, who came to reconcile men and God the Father. But this one is telling us that God himself, the Father, did that reconciliation between himself and us through Jesus Christ. And after Christ had done that, he went back to heaven, left us with the same ministry of reconciliation. So, we call ourselves Reconciliation Baptist Church. Ask yourself, how do we live our mission? It's a shame to see someone quarreling somewhere there on your neighborhood. Look at her, stupid. But aren't you a born again? Yes, I go to Reconciliation Baptist Church. At least you could put another name there. Bethlehem Baptist Church or Eden. Not reconciliation. Someone who goes to reconciliation, you have to reconcile people, reconcile even people with yourself. For the sake of peace, do many things. If what you want to do can make you suffer, but it can restore peace, do that. You see what Abraham did in the Bible. He still loved Lot. But for the sake of peace, he said, Lord, let us set apart, let us separate. If you go here, I'll go here. If you go here, it works. That one works very well. Let's finish it with this second part. I'll be very fast here. For they shall be called sons of God. What does that mean? Blessed are the peacemaker, for they will be called sons of God. I like other versions. They put it well here. All other versions say sons of God. Only old KJV says children of God. But when you go to the Greek word, it is sons. It is son, not children. But all these new modern what they say sons, I checked them. The NIV, this. But KJV say children of God. There's a difference there. Don't joke with words. Don't say that kagabo katono, the small word. There's no small word. That's the reward for peacemakers. You might say, to be a peacemaker is something great, but the reward is small. Small? In the Jewish culture, a son was considered heir of his father's possession. And that's what I'm saying KJV there, they are wrong there. Not the child. Because a child is any male, female, first, second, third, fifth, 15th, they are all children, isn't it? A son was considered heir of his father's possession. And the firstborn son was getting a double portion. Now, when you God says, if you are a peacemaker, you will be called a son of God.
Katonda waga nti bw'obeera omutabaganyi ojja kubeera mutabani mwana wa Katonda.
Ladies, where you are seated, don't start saying, ah,
they
are not saying daughters of God. Daughter, no. In the vocabulary of God, there is no word daughter. When you say he talks of son, both you and us are there. Yahweh calls Israel his son, my son. Free my son, Pharaoh. Free my son. So do you want to tell me that only male people left Egypt and girls and big women remained there? He knows why he wants just to call us together, my son. The father son imagery, that image of father son, expresses God's relationship with covenant community. It expresses God's relationship with covenant community. Yeah, I know translating is not easy, brother. Thank you for trying. The father-son imagery in the is also used in the New Testament. To refer to God's relationship to Christian believers. Who are called sons of God. So I'm a son of God. Alice, Priscilla, they are sons of God. And together, all of us, we are considered heirs of our father's possessions. Now, do you know our father's possessions, God's possessions? The whole earth and everything in it, all heavens, everything belongs to the Lord. But you and me now are heirs to those things. Do you know a privilege of being called the Son of God? Try to look at the son of our president here. Muhoozi. Even if, okay, this one is has got his own, own as an authority. But even if he was just a normal like you and me, get a picture. He's driving himself from Mbarara to Kampala. And there's a road block somewhere at Masaka. The policemen are checking everyone, every vehicle passing there. And then Moses also reaches there, he finds it on the line, on the queue. And then they reach him, hey you, come out, we are checking everyone. They don't know whether it's the president's son. And then when okay, who is that? I'm going. Get. You get it? I'm talking of any president's son who does not have any star here, whatever. Moses, they can respect him even outside his father's name. Is someone in our army. Let us leave him. Just get any other. This like this one is nothing in the government, but only bears that title, President's son. I'm sorry. But what wrong have you done? Hey, you people, leave the way. Leave the way. Pass. It's a great privilege. People like you and me to be called sons of God. If you can attain, you can reach this level, seventh level, then you can have reached perfection. And let me end this way. We can't have these seven virtues. We can't. The Lord has been using me to preach them to you. You can't believe that I sit alone in by my room shaking, nodding, shaking head, my head. When I'm reading this passage, researching here, and I see it's impossible. Just put Jesus Christ aside. No one can be poor in spirit. No one can be meek. No one can be merciful. No one can be a peacemaker. No one. You can't do anything. But go and ask God the Father. He will call you, this is my peacemaker in the world. Because of Christ. Jesus Christ is the head of the body.
Yes, Christ.
The church is his body. So if you are coming in between people by preaching the gospel and counseling them, you are continuing with the work of the head. Remember, it does not say, blessed are the peace lovers.
No.
And you might be here and you love peace so much. God is not interested in you. You can simply love peace and you stop there. God needs peacemakers. Make a step. But you cannot do it if you are not yourself at peace with God. Make peace with God. Purify your heart. I know even as I'm speaking here, we are speaking to me and the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's work is to show you, even those people that you don't talk with, even me, I don't know them, me, I'm just talking with, but he has already shown you. Kusomero, even there, that one also, this one also. They don't, he has, go and do something. Me, I've seen people who just split themselves from myself. So I'm trying to show you that you and me are together. We are just the same. The
Holy Spirit,
when he's using these words from my mouth, even me is showing me this. I am going to reach Mama Precious. Mama Precious. I am going there. Anytime. Let her tell me the reasons why. She just decided to be there. I want to know. I can't be here waiting for her to first come and see me. I don't have any problem. I did nothing wrong. No! What we are preaching are forcing us to go, make that step. Go and ask. What's wrong? I have to see Mama Precious one of these days. Are you fine? Oh, what's wrong? No, no problem, dear. No problem. No, there's a problem. Go back to your homes, your families. Make peace with those people. Don't bring excuses. Don't bring, no, me, I'm okay. It's them. Don't do that. Hebrew says, make all effort. Make all effort. What does that mean? Go. If they want to hear from you, I'm the one who wronged you, I'm sorry. And then they go and tell your father, your teachers, don't you hear? I told you that they don't wrong me. He has also come and said, it's okay. The one who knows, who is in wrong is in heaven. You are doing it for the sake of peace. If it is separation, separate with your mother. Separate. I don't say you go and divorce if you are married. Get me well. Even that other separation at your home, I don't see you just go, okay, amen, I'm going my way. No, not like that. The Lord will give you wisdom on how to do that. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. Oh. Whenever your word comes forth, it reveals and brings up all the things that had been hidden for months and years. Thank you for these messages you bring to us, Lord. Help us be peacemakers and move in your footprints, in your steps, Lord. You are the greatest and the one and only true peacemaker. You came and made peace between us and God. And if we are to be called your friends, your children, we need to follow your steps. Shame on us, Lord, if we can be part of trouble within our church, within our community, within our families. And if it has ever happened, forgive us, Lord, and help us from today to follow and pursue peace with everyone. But first, peace with you, because that's the origin and the source of this other peace. Thank you, Lord, you've really talked to us. You've rebuked us. We give you glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.